I come to preach about faith tonight, just a little bit, if that's okay. Every evangelist, I think, favorite subject is salvation and faith. Salvation because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Faith because my faith will get your faith excited. And when faith gets excited, miracles happen. So I'm so happy to preach what God gave me for this evening. Water is good. Just like I'll be happy to preach what God gave me for in the morning. Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. I'm not going to tarry too long building precept and principle tonight. I believe there's three different types of faith that each one of us have access to. The first one, salvation kind of faith. We can't even come to God without a measure of faith. So I'm going to name that salvation kind of faith. In other words, the Bible in Hebrews chapter 6 says, or chapter 11, verse 6, says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that's faith. Say amen.
Amen.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That second kind of faith, that rewarder of them that diligently seek him, I'm going to call that general faith. Because that kind of faith is also given to everybody. This is not something secret, not something just superb and divine and way above us. The third kind of faith I want to talk to tonight about is the spiritual gift of faith. And I'm going to spend a lot of time in there, and not a lot of time in these other two. Because I believe, again, tonight I'm speaking to a saved crowd. Those that had something better to do on Saturday night, they're doing it. But how many of you all know there's nothing better than to be in God's house with God's people and his spirit moving Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday? Amen. That's where I want to be. So I have always been a person who believes so strongly in faith that my grandma said that I was a spiritual retard. Because I had no common sense when it come to anything, but I just believe God. And I don't understand why it's that way with me and it's not per se that way with you. Other than I was born in church, I was raised in church, I wouldn't be here without the Lord.
Amen.
Period. I can tell you story after story how God saved me from death. Literally. When I was 4 years old, I had double pneumonia. Brother Mike, didn't you just get old? Yeah, I've had pneumonia 10 times in my life. You know what I just found out, Pastor Ron? 2 weeks ago, I found out that I only have 80% lung function. And Matthew gets mad at me because I can hold notes longer and hit notes higher and almost as low as he can. I don't really know what your story is, friend. I don't know what the doctors have told you, but I know what King Jesus says. He said, by my stripes you are healed. And I believe that I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to keep walking in that until it manifests itself. Well, Brother Mike, is that name it and claim it? No. No, 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 no. Let me help you with this. See that keyboard right there? That keyboard came out in 1994, and I laid my hands on it, and I said, God, I want this keyboard, and that was it. Never thought anything more of it, but every once in a while, I'd be playing my little Casio, and my mind would go back to that keyboard. 9 years later, when that keyboard was completely outdated and the man who had it didn't know what he had, I bought that keyboard for $700.
Amen.
God gave me what I asked for, but I had to wait with patience until it showed up and I was able to pay for it.
Amen. Amen.
This name it and claim it garbage that's going around here, friends, there's very few things you'll ever lay your hands on and proclaim that God's going to give it to you and somebody actually just, here, have a sweat towel. Oh, you don't want my sweat towel. Very few things you ever lay hands on and it'll just roll. But God will make a way for every need and quite a few of your wants to be met. Did he say my wants? Yeah, your wants. I don't need 27 suits. I don't need that many. In fact, Varick's grandmama told me the other day, son, what you think you're doing owning 27 suits? You only need 3 suits. You need a black one. You need a white one. Brother Mike does not need a white suit. It would stay white about an hour. So I told her, I said, you talk to my wife on that one. You need a black one, you need a white one, you need a brown one. And after that, just shirts and ties. You need just shirts and ties. Well, how do I put it? Back in last June, we went to Detroit. I weighed 324 pounds. I've always been just a little guy. And I said, God, I've got to find something. A diet's not going to work for me. I've got to find a lifestyle change that's easily accountable, easily trackable. I've got to find something. And in October, my wife's sister-in-law came to the family. We had a photo shoot. And man, she had dropped like 50 pounds like that. I said, how'd you do it, sis? She said, my fitness, this is not a commercial, by the way, myfitnesspal.com. So there's a little app on your smartphones. You can track everything you eat. Do you know that Ruffles potato chips aren't really very good for you? Ruffles and me are more like Pringles than I suppose everybody else. Once I pop, I can't stop. I sit down to eat one or two chips and the bag is gone before I know it, and I have enjoyed it. And I wondered where all these pounds were coming from. And so since October when we started until the first round of hospital mess went on, I'd lost 24 pounds, and I was quite happy about it because I couldn't wear this suit last June. Matthew hasn't been able to wear that suit since high school, which was, I don't know, about 8 years, six, 7 years, somewhere in there, 10 years ago. What are you talking about? I didn't lose weight, and we're not, my wife and I and Matthew, we're not losing weight because we want to be popular, we want to be on a world stage. Couldn't care less about fame. It never did me any good, no how. We want to lose weight because I'd really like to be around another 20 years for my wife. And I'm not so sure that my body is committed to that kind of a relationship. And I don't want to write checks of love that I cannot cash. And so we're busy trying to lose weight and losing weight, and it's fun. Can you believe that? I have done no push-ups, no set-ups, and I have not exercised. And I've lost 24 pounds. Amen. Why? For two reasons. One, I said, God, you got to help me with this. And he is faithful to his word if we'll just stand on the precepts of his word. Amen. Two, I said, God, can't you just give me like liposuction supernaturally? You know what God said to me? I want you to think about this for a minute. God said, you didn't get in this shape with my help, but I'll give you the strength to get out of it.
There you go.
And if he said it for me, how much more real is it for you? Some of the things in your life you've been dealing with, asking you God to deliver you from, his approach isn't the quick approach always. A dear friend of ours was delivered from cigarettes like that. 6 months later, the devil came, lied to him. He was back into his cigarettes. Why? Because God took him away quickly. The second deliverance, and he was delivered a second time, it took time. He had to finally say, you know what, devil, I'm not buying the lie anymore. And he finally put his cigarettes down. The hardest part was 5 months after he put his cigarettes down, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. To this ministry team, he was known as Dad. We loved him with all of our heart. And he said, if I'm going to die, you're going to sing Stepping on the Clouds the way your team does it. How many of y'all remember all the hooping and hollering for Stepping on the Clouds? We did that at his funeral. Exactly that way. Hardest thing any of us have ever done. Because we love that man so much. What are you talking about? Listen, being in the ministry is full of blessings and it's full of heartaches. But Brother Mike, you're on this national stage or this local stage or however you want to see me, regional stage. You're in front of churches all the time and that's your ministry. No, friend. Ministry means servanthood. Literally translated in the word, I find it literally translates to the word servant. Let me prove it to you real quick. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 says, now Joshua, Moses' minister. And Joshua was so young he couldn't possibly have been a spiritual mentor to Moses. No, he was his servant. And as such, there were great benefits. There were great rewards. The benefits were he got to learn how to lead God's people. Every person in this sanctuary tonight is called to ministry. Translate that, servanthood. And it's not of me, and it's not really of your pastor. It's of the body of Christ. As he leads and you see a need, it's your job to be like I am at home. You're laity putty. You see a crack, you feel it. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? Listen, it's very simple. If the church works together to supply the needs of the body of Christ grows because we're all working together. Amen. That world outside these doors doesn't need to see brokenness, hurt, discouragement, or a hypocrite in every pew. What they need to see is a body that's connected in unity so much that they're working together and pulling together. Not with the world, but against it. I took off for Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had taken my first youth pastorate. I was 19 years old, and I took off with a quarter in my pocket. Now, this was back when gas was 98 cents. How many of y'all remember that? Man, I feel old saying that. Back in the middle 90s, about 1995, I went into Ottumwa to tell my grandma and grandpa goodbye. I'd see him at Christmas, you know, because I was, you know, I was going to go conquer the world and be a preacher. And when I pulled in to hug Grandpa, Grandpa said, come on, let's go on down to Casey's. We went down to Casey's, and my gas tank was empty. I never said a thing to Grandpa about how much gas I had in my gas tank, but he filled it. He reached in his pocket. My grandfather, he was the richest preacher I've ever met in my life. He always had a wad of a hundreds. He peeled off a 50. I don't know if he'd been to the bank that morning or what, but he peeled off a 50, and he gave me a 50. He said, Go reach the lost, son. It was the first $50 ever directly sown into this ministry. I was there 2 months. I learned that I didn't know everything in ministry I thought I did. You know, people go to Bible college for 4 years to be build up. I did it in 2 months. I learned I didn't know everything in just 2 months. And so what I'm saying that to you for is, Grandma said, you've always had more faith than brains. Why else would I take out for Tulsa, Oklahoma from Ottumwa, Iowa with a quarter in my pocket? As I took off, I went down in faith, believing that God would get me down there and God would get me back, and he sure enough did, because I'm here to tell you this story. I was sitting in my cubicle at work. I was a telemarketer. That being said, church, will you please forgive me? I probably called each and every one of you at the most inopportune time. Sitting at work, our district superintendent lived in Kansas City, and I actually called him one day. That was pretty great. But I was sitting there, and all of the systems at work crashed. They all went down. And when they crashed, I was thinking, my goodness, what am I going to do? And I was just sitting there, just kind of scatterbrained, because I get that way sometimes. I know that's hard to believe. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, turn to that young man next to you and tell him, you used to know me, but now you're far from me, and you've got one chance to get it right. And I said, not me. I don't know him from Adam. As I sat there and I heard this voice of God rise up within me, it got louder and louder till finally I turned to him and I looked at him. And I said, you used to know the Lord and now you're far from him. And you've got one chance to get it right. And then I turned and started quivering. God, please let me get a call. Please. It's the only time I ever prayed for a phone call at that job. Please. Sitting there in the silence, I hear next to me. I'm 21 years old. I don't even know what to do with this kid. I turned slowly and I looked at him and I said, it's right on, isn't it? He said, you don't even know the half. I have to talk to you. There's never been another man of God come along to put it so straight and so clear. Well, that's the gift of prophecy. You know what? We get confused about the gifts an awful lot. I believe God at his word. His word said that faith receives things from him. And at that point in his life, he needed a direct word from God. And faith reached out as a gift to give him the word that he needed. And you can say it was prophecy. I mean, there's been many a time I've read people's mail. But I more like to think it's just God showing up to reaffirm what's already going on in their lives. That night, Pastor, that young man and I sat and talked for an hour and a half. He said, I used to have a street ministry in Miami, Florida, where we saw thousands of people a week saved to the cause of Christ. This kid was a year younger than I am. He was only 20. He said, but one day a drug dealer offered me a free sample. And stupidly, burdened down by the cares of the world, I took it. He said, I've been on dope ever since. I said, no more in the name of Jesus. I said, you need to give your heart back to the Lord. That was all I said. He said, I know who I'm going to have lead me back. It wasn't me. That wasn't my place. Mm-hmm. He called his former pastor and allowed him the privilege of bringing him back home again. Hallelujah. What are you talking about? Well, you're some spiritual person, Brother Mike. You're some preacher. You're some evangelist. Yeah, I'm some evangelist, all right. I've missed God more times than most of us ever get a chance because of my own fear and my own stubbornness. That's not a great man of God. That's just a man who sees the opportunity and either receives it or fails to receive it. See, what faith does, faith believes God at his word. The word of God in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is, so what's faith? Faith is substance of things hoped for, substance of things hoped for.